Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to each of you who will join us tonight, either by way of live stream on Facebook and or on the Blog Talk Radio platform. All right, we're grateful. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host again, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we do have a topic for this evening, and we'll get right into it. The number to call is 563-999-3617. In order to join in the national dialogue right here on Talk Straight and to speak to yours truly, the host, and to engage with our listening audience that may call in, give us a call tonight, 563-999-3617. Of course, you can always post your questions or comments in the, if you have any, and we'll do our level best to get back with you. If you want to reach us after the show is over with, feel free to give us a call at the number announced earlier in the intro, 615-498-4669, or you can call us at 615-942-6816. All right, let's get right to it. We hope you'll join us tonight there, and we appreciate, again, everybody who is following us here by either way you are. All righty. One of the implied promises of the American dream is the right to participate in its system of free enterprise. Now, perhaps the greatest challenge for many who tend to feel economically marginalized in America is finding their footing in the capitalistic schemes of the United States of America, and there are a great many. Too often, it is assumed that when you obtain a mere education, right, go to elementary school, go to middle school, high school, graduate, go to college, that's going to do it. Some people assume that winning big, and either in the world of reality shows or TV shows or rap and so forth and so on, that's going to take care of it for you. Others believe that if you're connected with the right people, you got it good, you'll find success. However, none of these guarantees economic positioning. There's something else that's required. Join me tonight as we respond to the question, what is your worth in America? What is your worth in America? This Tuesday night, March 9th, 2024. We welcome you to join us here, and I look forward to hearing from you in just a little bit. Again, that number to call is 563-999-3617. Give me a few minutes to get through this monologue, and we'll open the floor to the listening audience right away. Let's go and see what the Bible says. And ironically, tonight I'm going to hear from a rap song, T.I. We're going to play the clean version, of course. It talks about having whatever you like. I think post to our discussion tonight, and we'll relate it accordingly. But watch what the text says, Matthew 7th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Bear with me. Verse 16 says, "Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Last verse. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, what is that saying? Summary. Basically, what we do will be made manifest and evident in our lives in the sight of others. How worthy, how wealthy, how responsive we are, it's upon us. That's nobody's responsibility but yours. So in relationship to the question, what is your worth in America? It's not just about material things. Equally, it's about your spiritual identity and well-being. All right? I want to speak tonight briefly from three perspectives, that of the American dream. Then I want to talk about measuring personal wealth, or worth, I'm sorry, personal worth. And lastly, I want to talk about this concept of conscious capitalism. So those three are related, I believe. If you bear with me, we'll get right to it, and we'll hear from T.I. All right, so what is the American dream? Generally speaking, it is a belief that anyone, regardless of where they were born, what class they were born into, social or economic class, these people can obtain their own version of success within the greater society of the United States by working hard, mobility. The belief is that anybody can do this. Again, it's irregardless to your ethnicity, your race, creed, or kind. That's the American dream. Okay? I began by talking about how many people feel challenged by that. I understand. Hopefully, tonight, at the end of our discussion, you'll gain something that'll help you realize how you can even get past the perceived challenge. But anybody can. The question is how. All right? Now, how do you measure personal worth? When we talk about self-worth, we're talking about something that is not necessarily empirical, that there's no definitive evidence, but in terms of measuring it. But there's a theory that drives it. When we talk about self-worth, we're looking at the individual again, as I alluded to earlier. And how well you can evaluate your own actions, your drive, your thoughts, your contribution, right? And it's about performance in one or more activities. But your self-worth is determined by you. I've heard people say, don't name your child that because that'll set them up for failure. It doesn't matter what your child name is. If they're properly trained and prepared in the world, in society, in their family, in their home, and they use and follow certain principles, they can find success. Does that mean they won't have any challenges? No. However, they can still be successful. no matter where you were born, what you come from, what you've been through. It's about what you do with those experiences and not being self-defeated, giving up on yourself, but knowing that God made you with self-worth. All right? All right? We're talking about that tree now. You know the tree from what it produces, the fruit that it produces. All right? So when we talk about measuring self or personal worth, we're not talking about externally what other people think, how they feel. We're really talking about you. How do you get individuals to believe in themselves, to trust that their genuine action will yield and render success and productivity for them, that they control, not somebody else? Okay? When you're rearing children, you want them to follow your orders. You want them to be obedient. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. You want that. But ultimately, you want your children to know the instruction that you're giving them is something that they will apply on themselves as independent adults for the rest of their life. And if they follow those principles, those teachings, ideally, they will be successful and they can avoid pitfalls and snares. Talking about personal worth. How do you measure? You measure from the individual. We talked about previously learning being measured by a change in outlook or behavior after being exposed to certain examples, information, instruction. A lot of good people lack proper guidance, example, and instruction. But if and when they receive it, then things can change for them. And I'm talking about right here in 2024. Huh? If you feel marginalized, you feel like you don't count, I want you to consider change for you based on you. All right? So the American dream is an idea that anybody can achieve success and happiness in the United States of America. We got 50 states. There are about 330 million residents reported, I think, according to the last census count, maybe a little bit more, somewhere around there. All right? Anybody can. Your self-worth depends on you. It's measured by you. We just want to encourage you to keep your head up and look to the hills from which cometh your help. All right? Now, so let's talk about guiding principles or conscious capitalism. When we talk about capitalism, we're talking about a system, a belief in a system of economic growth and development and worth, right? And it is tied to free enterprise, right? And it's the idea that everybody can participate, or those who follow certain principles participate. Well, consider this. I want to talk about high purpose as a principle of conscious. And then when we talk about conscious, we're talking about being deliberate, engaging consciously in capitalism, having a high purpose for being there. These are some things that can make it work for you. You got to work yourself there for sure. And I'm not going into all details of them, but I want to open up some things for you for our conversation tonight. All right? Then stakeholders orientation. Orientation to your stakeholders. We're going to get into it in just a second. Then we're going to talk about the leadership, having conscious leadership when you start talking about being involved in capitalism. So you notice this is not by happenstance. This is very deliberate and focused. Then lastly, the culture, the manner in which you conduct and you live your life around this concept, this business idea that you want to involve yourself in the capitalistic society. So when we talk about high purpose, higher purpose, your business, your concept, your idea adheres to these principles, basically, that are focused on not just pure profit, but having a genuine purpose. Now, I've said, as I preached a sermon before, that there are three things that will guarantee you success in whatever you do, business venture, your life purpose, your career. First Give God praise and honor in what you do. Seek him first. See, how can I serve a public need or contribute to humanity through this? And then lastly, how do I provide and sustain myself? I believe if you have those three in place, you'll be all right. So we're not just talking about making a bunch of money. As we know money can come overnight, it can be gone. Huh? Material things. It comes. The next thing you know, you're slipping and dropping. It's gone. Right? But so we're talking about purpose, financial purpose. All right? Then when we look at this, we talk about with our financial purposes, who are those that are key to that? In other words, we identify them as stakeholders in our purpose. Tell you that, one, you got to look at your family, your community, huh? And those in your immediate inner circle. Okay? Let's talk about that just for a second. Being orientated to stakeholders, your family, those in your community, and your close circle of friends, your immediate circle. I taught my son, my children, that, you know, you find a friend every now and then. It is good to have at least 10 people that you can trust that will mirror your ideas. And if you ever find yourself in a bind, you know you can rely on them. I went a little bit further to tell them, listen, you put up $1,000 and 9 of your closest friends. I'm not talking about folks that call your friends, associates, but friends that you can count on. When y'all put y'all resources together, you got 10 grand to start with. That eliminates the need for a bank with regards to certain things. And as you grow that, it becomes stronger and stronger economically. You become your own bank. We're talking about stakeholders and purpose, your business. What are you stakeholders? Some of these stakeholders. As I said, your family, your customers, those that you provide a service to or product for. They, because you treat them right. The reason you do business, when you do business, you can't do it any kind of way. Be sloppy and irresponsible because you want your customers to be happy and to buy into your purpose, your focus for your business. Those that work for you, your employees, should be happy and participate in them. We hear right now that people are pushing for a wage increase, a national wage increase. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to tell a business how to set their profit margin. But when your business purpose and your business plan is geared toward a certain way of ensuring that your stakeholders, your customers, your employees that are working for you, your suppliers, right, and even others that might invest in what you're doing, when you do that, you help sustain your business by being conscious of that. And this is why we're talking about conscious capitalism, you see. So your community, when you give back, you help survive or thrive those in your communities academically, socially, spiritually, economically. Now, unfortunately, in urban America, there's a breakdown in trust and communication. And we've seen in the last 70, 80 years how what used to be black businesses at one point in time have, by and large, folded. You don't see them anymore in predominantly African-American neighborhoods and communities. Yes, I'm suggesting you can get back to that. Yes, in America. Then you have to rely on nobody else. You control your money, your time, and you control your lifestyle. Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm implying, all right? Because we're talking about the American dream, right? You can do it. How do you do it? That's the question, all right? Now, when we move further and talk about leadership, kind of leadership is needed for this to be sustainable. When you're conscious in your business, in the capitalist system, you emphasize we rather than me. Can't be selfish. An effective leader understands that if you call yourself leading a baseball team and it's just you, you're taking a long walk by yourself, that's all. Huh? You ain't leading nobody. You're just taking a long walk. But when you're able to work with others and bring them together and they buy into your vision such that they're with you willingly. They choose to be there. It's a we as opposed to me thing. And this is the mentality that drives of your business. Kind of goes back to having a purpose for not just God, but humanity as a whole. All right? These people then are willing to work to help you cultivate your idea. And you ain't got to bamboozle or snooze them in any way. It becomes natural. Right? Then lastly, the culture. In your business, the corporate culture or structure of activity, we're talking about the sum of the values or the principles that make up and drive what you do, right? We're looking at social and moral fabric of your business. Some things you just don't do, you don't succumb to. If it's going to hurt human beings, it's going to hurt your neighbors, then that is immoral. That does not comport with your beliefs, your system of ethics. Leave it alone. That ain't you, right? But that can come back to bite you and to hunt you down the road. So those are the four principles. Looking at your high purpose, stakeholder orientation, conscious leadership, and the culture that's related to your conscious capitalism or involvement in the capitalist system. Low down is dirty. I just shared with you some principles that were of a spiritual nature, and those that are successful in American capitalistic society have used them on some level. Does that mean that everybody's been on the up and up? No, I'm not saying they have. However, they are very, very successful individuals who participate in the system of free enterprise in America and the system of capitalism that do well, right? Accordingly, they can obtain what we call the American dream. Becomes a reality for. All right? And then you can measure your worth from these ideas. 999-3617 is the number to call. I wait you to give us a call, but we go straight to T.I. Now, this young man, he's a rapper. I think he's out of Atlanta, largely. And, I don't want to praise any negative thing because he has been known to be associated with some pretty ugly words, but we got you the clean version here. What he said in this song is that you can have whatever you like. Now, I use that to illustrate the point that in the United States of America, it is possible for every and anybody to benefit from the American dream. I think you may agree with me that to some degree, this is apropos to what he's saying in terms of having whatever you like. Give me a call here, 563-999-3617. Here we go.
You can have whatever you like. Yeah, yeah. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. You can have whatever you like. You can have whatever you like.
That it is possible when you work hard and you provide for yourself, that you can give those who mean the most to you what's important to you. I know that historically in America, there have been systems, there have been individuals, there have been groups who sought to suppress and oppress people of Afro-American heritage and origin. At the same time, same subgroup of people of Afro-American origin, many of them have been successful. How is it that they became successful? I would argue that, one, they chose to believe that if anybody benefits from the American dream, I do. Now, why would they say that? Because you can't tell American history without talking about the contributions of people of Afro descent here. From the very Revolutionary War, you cannot compensate for the wealth of America's capitalism without talking about the contribution of the building of the economic infrastructure in the United States of America, all the way to the building of the White House itself. Oh, you can lie about it, but when you know history and you know the truth will bring you to this position that I got something that belongs to me. No, let me say something. When the Europeans came here and they, in a rude fashion, took the land from the Native Americans by befriending them first, tricking them and overcoming them, I realized that's part of American history, right? That wasn't good. So an argument can be made that if anybody owed anything, first the Native Americans. However, people of Afro descent, by and large, not everybody, but the greatest number of them, historically, were brought here against their will. That's how they immigrated, you see. And they were forced into a new society that they didn't ask for and have a right to. Now, am I talking about reparations? Doctor, you talking about reparations? No, I'm not. I'm talking about you learning and understanding how to tap into the American dream by establishing yourself as a participant in the system of free enterprise. Thus, the belief in the capitalism of America. Okay? Now, some people don't like that because they believe somebody owed me something. I shouldn't have to work hard no more. If you don't work, you don't eat. Huh? When you get hungry, you're going to do something to what? That's a natural drive to eat. Even the wildest animals in the field, in the forest, in the woods, in the jungle, instinctively, they know to feed themselves. Huh? They know to feed themselves. They know that if they don't eat, they can't survive. But when we talk about oftentimes the elements of criminal behavior, we're talking about individuals who have not learned to control their natural animalistic desire and drive to eat by providing for themselves. Does that make you a bad person? No. But your actions are bad. They're disruptive and problematic in terms of getting along and being socially adept with other people. That's a problem. They got to do with your color of your skin. Nothing. Got something to do with what's in your head. What is your worth in America? The only person that can answer that is you. Today, if all I got is 5 cents in my pocket, what am I going to do with that nickel, those 5 pennies, to multiply it such that tomorrow, the next day, or next week, I can talk about 25 cents? To multiply 25 times 4, I got $1 now. Makes me want to holler now. You understand? It's up to you. Now, what do you want to do? Gentleman that had a habit of coming back from his fishing trips with a whole boatload of fish. Most people go out there, stay out there hours. They throw the fly rod, and some of them use a net. They're not very successful. Well, the game warden heard about this and said, I'm going to go find out how this guy always comes back with all these fish. So the game warden disguised himself just as another fisher. Said, hey, man, you mind if I go out with you? No. So he said, come on, let's go out. We can fish together. So the game warden was sitting there. They were talking, and he was watching the guy, observing him and what have you. And the guy was just trying to have a conversation. He said, yeah, get you something to drink over there. You want a sandwich? You know, enjoy yourself. So the game warden said, no, I just want to know how you do it, man. How you do it? How do you get all these fish all the time? Just as the game warden was talking, the guy leaned back, reached back, and opened up his box, black box. He pulled out dynamite, and he took a match, lit it. And just as he was getting ready to light the fuse on the back, the game was, hey, man, that's illegal. You can't do that. Man handed him the dynamite that had been lit. He said, you can't do this. We can't do this. This is illegal. He said, man, let me ask you a question. What do you want to do, fish or talk? My friend, there's a point in life where you can idealistic. Or you can just handle your business. In 2024, there is more money in America than makes sense sometimes. Yeah, you can say the rich. Listen, let me encourage you to get out of that, okay? You're wasting your time. Become a rich. If you don't want to know how the rich got rich, look at the examples and get rich yourself, because there are ways you can do that. There are so many things in need. Right now, the nation is being bombarded with immigrants that are coming in from multiple nations, not just Mexico or Hispanic countries, all over the world, China, Middle East, right? And why they say they're coming? What they coming for? They want to participate and benefit from the American dream. Does all of them want to do that? Some of them may have some nefarious intent. Quite likely, and that concerns me personally. But many of them see that America as an opportunity, a place of opportunity. Those of us that have been here all our lives, what's wrong with us? What you going to do, fish? You want to complain? You want to cry? You want to scream? Or do you want to produce for yourself? But the American dream is obtainable. 563-999-3617. That's the number to call. I'd love for you to join me, and I'd love for you to participate with me and get right on in here. I'm telling y'all to call me right now. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's go. I want to hear, this was the excerpt we had from another show, but it was with Dr. King, and he was talking about what should wealth, should the wealthy feel? Listen to him for a second, and we'll come right back. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. The number to call is 563-999-3617. All right, we'll do that.
Jesus told a parable one day, and he reminded us that a man went to hell because he didn't see the poor. His name was Dives. He was a rich man. And there was a man by the name of Lazarus, who was a poor man, but not only was he poor, he was sick. Sores were all over his body. He was so weak that he could hardly move. But he managed to get to the gate of Dives every day, wanting just to have the crumbs that would fall from his table. Dives did nothing about it. And the parable ends saying, Dives went to hell. And there was a thick gulf now between Lazarus and Dives. And that is nothing in that parable which says that Dives went to hell because he was rich. Jesus never made a universal indictment against all wealth. It is true that one day a rich young ruler came to him, and he advised him to sell all. But in that instance, Jesus was prescribing individual surgery and not setting forth a universal diagnosis. And if you will look at that parable with all of its symbolism, you will remember that a conversation took place between heaven and hell. And on the other end of that long distance call between heaven and hell was Abraham in heaven, talking to Dives in hell. Now, Abraham was a very rich man. If you go back to the Old Testament, you see that he was the richest man of his day. So it was not a rich man in hell talking with a poor man in heaven. It was a little millionaire in hell talking with a multimillionaire in heaven. Dives didn't go to hell because he was rich. Dives didn't realize that his wealth was his opportunity. It was his opportunity to bridge the gulf that separated him from his brother Lazarus. Dives went to hell because he passed by Lazarus every day and he never really saw him. He went to hell because he allowed his brother to become invisible.
This is what I made reference to in the monologue. When I talked about these principles of conscious capitalism, and I talked about making sure your business, what you do, not just about making money, y'all with me, but making a difference as well while you make money. What you do can make a difference in other people's lives. These are your stakeholders, the people around you, the people that you sell products or services to, that you service, people that work for you, suppliers, right? When you have a business model that is proactive and an active part of your community, your society, you can't but success. You can't find nothing but success, I would argue. Y'all with me? See, this is what King was making reference to in this message here, in this, using the parable in the scripture about Dives and Lazarus and the rich young ruler. Wasn't that he had a problem with him being wealthy or obtaining wealth from the earth, as it was the mindset, the attitude. Today, when we apply ourselves, and I'm not saying you got to have a PhD or a master's degree to be, you know, a lot of folk in America have been without any formal education at all. We're not saying we are denouncing formal education. What I'm saying is there's a balance to be struck there. And the main thing is your worth is determined by you. That's the point I want to emphasize here. As we continue our conversation, hope you'll give me a call here. If you're following us on Facebook live stream, go and give me a call. 563. That's the number to call tonight in the studio. 563-999-3617. All right? 563-999-3617. We're going to wrap the show up about around 8 o'clock or so. So go and get in now. Those of you that follow us on our podcast here on Blog Talk Radio, it may look like we're going for an hour and a half. If circumstances dictate that, we might, right? But for the most part, we're going to run for about an hour. You get on in here and you get us locked up in good dialogue and conversation, we may take it to the full hour and a half. It don't matter. Come on, give me a call here, 563-999-3617. But as we go back, I wanted to emphasize something that Dr. King was the point that he was making, and that is, friends, that there's nothing wrong with wealth, nothing wrong with being rich or having resources. I would argue the problem is when they have you, they control you, and you lose the essence of your soul. Get a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul. You see, but when you lay down and you know that you have made your contribution to humanity, have children, you reared your children in the fear and admonition of the Almighty, they represent his righteousness, his purpose. And they began to take those principles and pass them on to another generation, grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. I wrote a book back in 2006, and in it, the book was entitled Let Us Make a God-Am Man. God-Am, a man that exists as God. And in the text, what I intimated in the chapter, my thesis was that we're made in the likeness and the image of God. And the way man becomes immortal, I believe that was chapter 8 that we discussed, no, chapter 6, we discussed the immortality of man. And the way man becomes immortal is that he represents God's purpose for him, passes that on from one generation to the next. Now, his physical being may not exist that long, but his spiritual essence is passed down one generation to the next. Hence, he lives as long as they live. Family is the context in which this is possible to do. That's why you don't want to play around with relationships and making babies that you can't be there with, because they can be your promise to immortality. You can be their promise in the world. Happiness. I wish y'all would come on here. Hey, listen. Y'all hear me? I'm going to keep on going, though. The number 563-999-3617. I realized that last week we were out of pocket. Sometimes I'm not successful at keeping things going 100% because we got a lot of things we're doing, and we've been doing some travel and what have you. In our other profession, I have a business and that sort of thing, so we're not always able to be grounded here. My good friend Pastor Wallace has been with us over the years, and he's been very helpful and instrumental in the past, but guess what? Lord has blessed him that he's pretty busy. We're all busy, but we try to keep the dialogue going. So hence tonight we're here, and Lord willing, we'll be here next Tuesday and maybe some other times. But right now, you're listening to us, give me a call here, 563-999-3617. I'd love to hear from you before we wrap up for tonight. There may be a question or comment or a contribution that you'd like to make to our discussion. Our topic tonight is, what is your worth in America? And my response to you, my answer to that, I'd like to suggest, I can't tell you, don't make it right because I said it, but I'd like to submit to you that your worth is determined by you. Say you had a rough time up until now. It's okay. That's all right. Don't worry about it. With knowledge and understanding, you can move beyond that. You can do better. And that's what's most important. Say you've done time. You've been incarcerated. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat that. Because you still got breath in your body. And you're out now. You're in the free world. Guess what you can do? You can turn your life around. And there's something you can do to give God glory. Serve a need in humanity and provide for you, your family, and everything that's germane to you. That's possible, beloved, male or female, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, the other. See? Now, this rift, this fight over the immigrants that I made reference to earlier, these people are coming, most of them, I believe, with the intent to benefit from the American dream. Okay? So they're seeking opportunity. Honestly, as taxpayers and having contributed to the system, there's a proper way to do that. Our government should be responsible enough to manage our immigration system such that it's not overloaded or a problem for anybody. That's what a problem is. That's what a breakdown is. And I'm hoping that we'll get back to a system, an orderly system of immigration. Okay? And I'm not talking about dysfunctional Congress pointing fingers at one another, or the White House, or the Supreme Court. I'm talking about our system of government, checks and balances, working on behalf of the people, the government. We've learned that Jefferson says that you endowed by certain changeable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But the government that you're governed by, it only has its powers by your consent, right? So we expect our government to do certain things right. We're talking about what is your worth in America. And I want to reiterate again that worth is up to you. That depends on you. As we're still waiting on others to call, what I'm going to do is I got some more conversation from Brother King, from Dr. King, I believe, here. And he talked about the Poor People's Campaign that is tangentially related, discussion about worth. And with the Poor People's Campaign in 1968, it endeavored to go to Washington, D.C., just like they did in 1963, the March on Washington. But this time they had a manifesto. They had an order, an economic order, that didn't just benefit Negroes, but whites and everybody else. Okay? It was not successful because on April 4th, as a few days ago, Dr. King's voice was silent. He was killed in Memphis, Tennessee at the Lorraine Motel. All right? However, what he and the group, the SCLC, and the Civil Rights Movement were aiming to do is to bring a plan for economic growth and development. Many have done that. I want to give credit to the National Urban League for striving to keep focus on those types of things. There have been some good, successful models that I've heard of and read about, right? And they're silos of success. Somehow we got to bring them all together so they work for everybody across the nation, okay? And it's really up to every state, every city to be investors and stakeholders in that. I realize that. That's not a role of the federal government to do that, I don't believe. I believe that is the duty of each individual, and that's what I'm saying about your worth is determined by you. But Dr. King talked about what motivated the Poor People's Campaign, the concept of it. Let's listen to that for a second. 563-999-3617. We got a few more minutes. Give me a call here. Love to hear from you if you're following us here on Facebook or on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Don't give me a call. We'll get too late now. All right? While I'm waiting on you, let's listen to Dr. King.
I would remind you that in our own nation, there are about 40 million people who are poverty-stricken. I have seen them here and there. I've seen them in the ghettos of the north. I've seen them in the rural areas of the south. I've seen them in Appalachia. I've just been in the process of touring in many areas of our country. And I must confess that in some situations, I have literally found myself crying. I was in Marks, Mississippi the other day, which is in Quitman County, the poorest county in the United States. I tell you, I saw hundreds of little black boys and black girls walking the streets with no shoes to wear. I saw their mothers and their fathers trying to carry on a little Head Start program, but they had no money. The federal government hadn't funded them. They were trying to carry on, and they raised a little money here and there, trying to get a little food to feed the children, trying to teach them a little something. And I saw mothers and fathers who said to me, not only were they unemployed, but they didn't get any kind of income, no old age pension, no welfare check or anything. I said, how do you live? And they say, well, we go around to the neighbors and ask them for a little something. When the berry season comes, we pick berries. When the rabbit season comes, we hunt and catch a few rabbits. And that's about it. And I was in Newark and Harlem just this week. And I walked in to the homes of welfare mothers. I saw them in conditions, no, not with wall-to-wall carpet, but wall-to-wall rats and roaches. I stood in an apartment. This welfare mother said to me, the landlord will not repair this place. I've been here 2 years. He hadn't made a single repair. She pointed out her little boy who was a victim of lead poisoning. She pointed out the walls with all of the ceiling falling through. She showed me the holes where the rats came in. She said, night after night, we have to stay awake. Keep the rats and the roaches from getting to the children.
So you were listening to Dr. King, as you are now listening to Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. King, unless you're just tuning in. And our topic is, what is your worth in America? Dr. King was just given his experience of after traveling around with Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the motivation behind. Now, it is my understanding that there's a group who's been trying to sustain that, and they're still active to some degree. You don't hear a whole lot about them of late, you know? But there's a group who's trying to keep the concept together. And as I was saying earlier before we went to listen to Dr. King, it would be helpful if those silos of success that are going on can be replicated, can be shared, and they can be spread all over America, particularly in urban America. The thing is, in 2024, believe it or not, there are people who for one reason or another are still struggling to make day-by-day needs met and ends meet. Interestingly enough, the war on poverty that Lyndon Baines Johnson started back in the 60s, what they have seen since then and now, 60-some years later, is that you spent more money than you had return on investment. What people need is not just money, but certain information, and that's what we're talking about, self-worth. Learning how to participate in the real American dream, best being an active participant of the system of free enterprise. You have a right, as does anyone else, to have enterprise and economic freedom to benefit from the capitalist system of the United States of America. I said earlier, some people said that's the devil, it's wrong. Well, in the United States of America, if you want to be successful, that's something you need to learn about. Okay? Now, maybe you don't like that. You want to go to some other country and you want to live according to their system. All right? You have that right, too. I, for one, have invested a great deal in America. I consider this home, for better or for worse. Not a perfect nation. Ain't done everything right, certainly by people of Afro descent. Okay, but we're here now to make the best of it. And I ain't going to be broke. What about you? You ain't got to be. Excuse my English. You don't have to be. Not necessary for you to be broke. All right? So as we wrap up this conversation about worth, your answering what is your worth in America, that's up to you. It's March 9th, 2024. What you going to do? Fish or talk? It's up to you. There's hope that if a tree is cut down by its roots, you don't get no deeper than the roots. And the tenderloins are dried up. Just at the tip of water, it'll sprout again one day. Job said that, and I believe you're right. Yeah. It ain't over. just because somebody else said it is. As long as you got breath in your body and you got a little fight in you, I come to tell you, you can make it. Huh? Peanut butter loves jelly. Put mine on little wheat bread. Give me a little cold glass of milk and we make a meal out of it, you understand? I'm trying to tell you that your wealth in America depends, hinges on you. All right? Now, you didn't call me at 563-999-3617. But if you like, you hear this podcast and you hear the live stream, and later you want to talk to me about it, I'm all right with that. Give me a call at 615-942-6816. What's that number again, Doctor? I can call you and talk to you about 615-942-6816. All right? Busy man, run a business and everything, but you call me, we'll make time for you. So that's what we do. That's what we do. And we're grateful for the opportunity to be here with each and every one of you tonight. You've been listening to Talk Straight. Our topic was basically, what is your wealth worth, in America? Answer, that's up to you. You're worth as much as you work out. My daddy used to tell me all the time, son, a man gets what he works out for himself. I found that to be true. Don't let nobody tell you you don't deserve, you can't have that, that ain't for you. Who told you that? Who told you that? Man, you better get on somewhere with that. I can have whatever I like. Be careful about what you wish for, because you just might get it. Just might get it. See, I said you can have whatever you like. We're going to end on that tonight on Talk Straight, and Lord willing. And the old folks say, if the creek don't wide, rise. We'll see you next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Doctor, and we're wishing you well. Looking forward to seeing you on next week. And until then, have a good night. Everybody know it ain't true, that you got it. We never ever got to go on your way. As long as I got rubber band banks in my pocket, you got a downgrade. You can get what I